This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. This week, North Carolina teachers protested funding shortages in the education system. They staged walk-ins across the state. Many are upset about budget cuts that affect instruction for the state's more than 1.5 million students. The leader of that system is Public School Superintendent June Atkinson, and she joins us now. June Atkinson, welcome. Good to have you on the program.
Thank you, Frank. I'm glad to be on your program today.
So we've seen this week some teachers very upset, and they've talked about the concerns. Cuts not in the overall budget, but particularly in class, that cuts that affect the classroom, cuts in teacher aides, cuts in textbooks. These are things that affect classroom instruction. Are you concerned about the same things they are?
I am concerned about the same things as our teachers. I know that we have gone from a place where we had adequate dollars for textbooks, and now we get approximately $15 per student for textbooks, and you cannot buy a textbook for that amount. Our teachers have been doing wonderful things in teaching our students, and with adequate support of resources, their jobs become so much more difficult.
What does it mean in the state when we see ourselves slip from 22nd in overall spending per student and teacher pay to something like somewhere in the 45, 46? What kind of impact does that have on education? Is that just a statistic, or do you think it has an impact in the classroom?
It does have an impact in the classroom. It also has an impact on the economic development of North Carolina. We have to have a strong educational system from pre-birth through adulthood in order to attract and keep industry in our state. It also has a potential impact on the standard of living in North Carolina. If we do not have an educated citizenry, then we cannot continue to be an attractive place for people to live, enjoy their work, their social life, and to spend money.
We're seeing a movement in the legislature recently that says, well, maybe there is a problem with education, and maybe the problem is that it is in the public sphere. Maybe more private education, vouchers, private schools, that might fix things. And we're seeing in this legislature now a move toward vouchers and privatizing education. Do you think that'll help?
No, I do not. What we know about North Carolina schools is that we made more progress in the last decade than we've ever made before. Our graduation rate is at an all-time high of 82.4%, and we got there of having the highest graduation rate ever because of the investments in previous years. You cannot help a system grow and thrive by taking resources from that system. And I'll be the first to say that money isn't everything, but money certainly does make a difference. When you look at other states that are thriving, you know that they are spending more per student than North Carolina is. We were recognized by Harvard University as doing the most for student achievement with the least amount of money. We were among six states recognized for doing great things for students with a small amount of money. It is important for our educators to squeeze every dime out of every dollar, but there comes a time when you have nothing else to squeeze.
Have you had conversations with Governor McCrory about public education funding and what's his involvement? What does he say when you talk with him about
this? I just recently attended the Governor's Teacher Advisory Committee, and Governor McCrory did mention that it was important to address teacher salaries in North Carolina. It was important to address the needs so that we can educate all of our 1.5 million children to the extent that we want them to be career and college ready.
What about your conversations with him? What happens during those conversations? What is he telling you?
Well, the Governor McCrory has convened the Education Cabinet. The Educational Cabinet is comprised of the leaders in education, the community college president, the university president, the State Board of Education chair, and the Secretary of Health and Human Resources. That conversation has been, how can we improve education, how can we get more efficiencies, and how can we be more effective? I believe that our governor does recognize that it is important to address teacher salaries to address the resources needed for all levels of education to do a better job and to thrive.
What about privatization? Most of the initiative has come from the legislature. Do you get a feel from the governor where he stands on that? That's something that you said you don't think is going to help our system much. Have you talked with him about that? And how, what does he tell you about privatization?
Actually, I've not talked with the governor about privatization. I do know that our General Assembly passed a voucher bill, and I have two concerns about that voucher bill. One is that there is not accountability. Accountability doesn't follow the student. So parents will not know whether X school will be able to deliver the same types of results for their children as the public schools.
But speaking of accountability, I guess end of grade test scores are going to be released this week, and the news is it's not going to look good. What's your sense of what we're going to see and what's happening?
The State Board of Education will release the end of grade and end of course test results on Thursday. I anticipate that we will see a drop in student achievement. That happens every single time that the State Board of Education has raised standards. I also anticipate that we will see that many of our schools and many of our students met or exceeded growth. What has happened is that the bar has been raised, and our students are learning much more, but the bar is at a higher level. And the trend in setting the bar at a higher level is based on what business and industry and colleges and universities and community colleges tell us as to the type of work the students are expected to do once they leave our schools. And we cannot continue to get that input without doing something about it. So in 2010, the State Board of Education adopted new standards, and we had 2 years to get schools ready for the implementation of those new standards. And this is the first year of new standards with new assessments.
Tell us about Common Core. That's something I know that you're concerned about. What is that, and why is it important?
The Common Core was adopted by the State Board in 2010. It does nothing more than identify what students should know and be able to do as a result of being in mathematics classes and reading English language classes for 13 years. Some of my concerns include piling on irrelevant information about the Common Core. It's like, let's blame the Common Core for this. Let's blame the Common Core for this. But the Common Core is in the best interest of our students. It raises standards. It is benchmarked against very highly performing or high-performing countries. It has a focus on not only, for example, knowing how to add, multiply, subtract, and divide. It focuses on when you would add, multiply, subtract, and divide. It has a focus of answering the student's question, when will I ever use this stuff? It also has a focus on being able to read and understand. For example, we focus on students being able to read the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Federalist Papers. And not only should they be able to read them, but they should be able to demonstrate that they understand what these important documents say and mean.
Critics, though, say that it's one size fits all, and it's a kind of an unfair test, and it's applied too broadly.
Well, first of all, to me, it isn't a one-size-fits-all when you expect all students to learn how to add, multiply, subtract, divide, do fractions, percentages, know how to use algebraic expressions, and be able to apply geometry and statistics. Every student needs to be able to have those foundational skills. It is up to teachers in the classroom to personalize or individualize how the students meet those standards. North Carolina has had a standard course of study since the early 1900s. It is nothing new to North Carolina. For some reason, the notion that one size fits all has become a part of the conversation when it's inappropriate. It's up to the teacher to individualize. The standard says this is where the student needs to be in order to be successful at the community college as a freshman, in order to be successful at the university as a freshman, or to be able to go take a job in business and industry and be able to do the work that the employer wants the person to do.
You talked about the importance of accountability in the education system. And we're seeing, again, an improvement of graduation rates, the result of the last 12 years of spending, mostly spending increases. That has changed, but there's fruit, and the fruit of these spending increases and other things has been an improved graduation rate. At the same time, we're seeing test scores falling, you say in part because we've raised a standard and we're in a transition. But it is all very confusing for policy experts, for parents, to figure out how are we doing as a state in terms of educating our children. What are the measures we should be using, and how do we hold our system accountable?
Well, first of all, it really is a difficult and challenging endeavor to have accountability. But as a parent or as a citizen, I would want to know the graduation rate. I would want to use multiple measures. I would use end of grade and end of course test as one measure, but not the measure. As a parent, I would want to know how I feel about my students, my children attending the school. So we need to use multiple measures, and we need to go beyond test scores in order to determine how well our students are doing. And it's very difficult to take the whole notion of the influence of teachers on students and put that as a number. So it's complicated. So the first thing is we need to recognize that it is complex. Two, the data we have are indicators. They are not absolute, and we need to use judgment as to how we feel about our schools.
A couple of times now you've emphasized the importance of the classroom teacher, their ability to customize any kind of a program, their ability to inspire students to learn. We have in this state now changed the incentives for teachers. If you have a master's, you're no longer eligible for a pay increase. What impact is that going to have on us when getting an advanced degree, improving your education, doesn't provide anything for you in this state? What's going to be the effect of that?
I'm optimistic that the General Assembly will make some changes, but not giving credit for a teacher getting a master's degree, from my perspective, is going in the wrong direction. We tell our children, our students, to be lifelong learners. Our teachers benefit from getting master's degrees, especially in the content area. So the impact, if we do not reverse that trend and if we do not address teacher salaries, is that we may have a revolving door of teachers who come to teach for 1 year or 2 years and then they leave. So that means we're starting over. And an outreach search shows us that one of the best indicators of whether a school will be a struggling school is the turnover rate of the teachers in that school. Teachers are the key to quality instruction.
Yeah, and it would seem to me just a kind of a simple supply and demand equation would mean that as I got in greater demand because I have a master's, I'd have to leave this state to get more money.
Well, absolutely. We get about a third of our teachers from out of state, a third through our traditional teacher preparation programs, and then a third from lateral entry, people who have degrees and who want to become teachers. Virginia, Tennessee, South Carolina, Georgia all pay higher beginning teacher salaries. We are the only state in the union now not paying teachers for master's degrees. So do I believe that we will be able to continue to attract people from other states to come to North Carolina? No, they can go to other states. Will business and industry who have so much to offer our students leave their business industry jobs to become teachers? No. We know that our teacher preparation programs across the state have told us that they have fewer people enrolling. We will, and I continue to say this, and I'm worried about it, if we do not address teacher salaries, the master's degree payment, and if we do not show we value our teachers, then I'm worried about the supply of quality teachers to teach our young people.
You've also been an advocate of pre-K education. There have been cuts in pre-K as well. What impact do you think that's going to have?
There is so much research, especially brain research, that will show that there are critical years to help children develop vocabulary, to develop the readiness to be successful in school. If we invest in preschool education, we can minimize the problems that children will have later in school. Now, that doesn't mean that students can't learn, but the children who do not have quality preschool education, whether it's provided by a parent or a public entity or a private entity, if a student does not have access to that, then there's a gap when they come to kindergarten. And while we close that gap, make the gap narrower, we never close that gap. So if we really want to improve in the long run the educational achievement of our students, we have to pay close attention and provide quality preschool education, especially to our most vulnerable children.
These cuts have been made. We're looking at $653 million per student in real cuts in classroom education, then cuts to pre-K program. You are the superintendent of schools. You have to deal with that. All right. So what do you do? How do you maintain a quality program in the face of those cuts?
Well, I do believe that public education today is like a very tightly drawn rubber band. And I will continue to advocate for our teachers. I will continue to advocate for preschool education. And I will continue to work in a respectful way with our General Assembly. I will continue to work with business and industry to get their support for public education. And I will continue to do what I can to uplift the spirits of our teachers. We need to keep them in the classroom so that they can continue to do great work.
When you say that, though, what can you do? I mean, teachers are looking for tenure, for higher pay, for recognition of their advanced degrees. They're not getting any of it. They see less help in the classroom, no textbooks, and then you say, I'm going to do what I can to uplift their spirits. What would that be?
One is to do simple things, such as to say thank you, to advocate for other people to say thank you for the jobs that that teachers are doing for students. In the long run, we have to have another solution, and that other solution is for the General Assembly to fund our schools in an adequate way. And while I understand that the General Assembly has had difficulty with our economic situation, I believe that we need to continue to say, make the investment today so that we can reap the rewards later.
Well, I know you're talking about the General Assembly, but in fact, our economic condition has been improving steadily over the past couple of years. And so there have been not been cuts to overall growth in the state. In fact, that's been improving. And yet, the one part of the budget that's hurt in real terms is the education budget.
Exactly right. And I believe that North Carolinians see the importance of education. For example, a recent Elon University poll showed that 81% of those surveyed believed that our teachers were undervalued and needed to be paid more. And I am gratified by the number of business people who are contacting me to say, what can we do to send the message that we need to invest in public education? So it's really important for the small voices across North Carolina to speak up and to let our legislators know that education, public education, is a priority and that we are willing to make sacrifices in other areas for the benefit and for the long-term investment in public education.
Superintendent Atkinson, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
June Atkinson is superintendent of North Carolina Schools. Coming up next, comic book fans from across the state meet up in Durham for Comic-Con. Stay tuned.